This week in the markets, palladium eclipsed gold, while the Dow Jones Industrials picked up 700 points. Well, welcome back to GoldSeek.com Radio, everyone. Your host, Chris Walczek, back with you on this Season 14, Episode 679. The U.S. stock market will be closed Monday in remembrance of a remarkable American icon, Martin Luther King Jr. Turning to the financial markets, the big story this week, the epic four-week rally in U.S. equities. The Dow Jones has officially added 3,000 points since the December lows. Then there's the amazing palladium story. The white metal actually eclipsed gold for the first time in 16 years, briefly touching $1,400 an ounce. So when will auto manufacturers realize that palladium's sister metal, platinum, can be substituted at $500 less? That's a discount per ounce. That's $8,000 in savings per pound they purchase manufacturing cars. More about this later in the show. Plus, with the Bitcoin 80% discount off of last year's peak price, investors want to know if the bottom is in place. Well, not so fast, says my first guest, Michael Pinto, president and founder of Pinto Portfolio Strategies, returns with a cutting-edge dialogue on the cryptos, and in particular, Bitcoin. He says fiat money is truly becoming a barbarous relic. Bitcoin might not be the go-to substitute. He's looking for $1,300 per Bitcoin. That's his target. But he does preface it and qualify it by saying he missed the entire rally from 900 to 20,000. We have a very friendly and thought-provoking debate on the pros versus the cons of the cryptos. And keep in mind, he agrees with us at GoldSeek here that there's just simply nothing better than gold and silver. Then, in his debut appearance, Ryan Walsh, who we've termed the Canadian Nikola Tesla, presents his research with what just might be some of the most interesting findings out there today. Mr. Walsh appears to have uncovered signals in fast radio bursts. This is an astronomical anomaly where we receive very high-powered radio signals from outside the Earth. This is verified at Harvard's webpage. That's where we download and test the files. Well, in just 2 seconds of one of these high-powered radio bursts that required the energy of our sun or more to send it this way, could be the most important message, let's call it a text message, from outside of our solar system. So if you have any interest at all in speculation and perhaps suspending Occam's razor for a bit, fantasy and science fiction, I hope you'll enjoy this. We think it could be a Rosetta Stone. Of course, detractors have been very quick to discount some of these findings. They're called, I believe, a microwave interference at the radio telescopes that receive these fast radio bursts. My guest counters with a rather elaborate scientific explanation that he thinks refutes that, noting that all of the information of interest seems to be found in the sidebands of the signal, which does not seem to jibe so well with the whole idea of interference. It's pure speculation. I'm very glad to be part of their team there. So if you'd like to join us or you'd like to contribute in any way to this project, I promise you it's very real. He's posting his findings online. I'm posting what I believe is voice communications. If you have any interest at all, just contact me, gsr@hughes.net. Maybe you've got a decked out computer like my workstation here. Maybe you'd like to contribute some computer time, or you're just a big audio fan or interested in research. Just contact me or Ryan, gsr@hughes.net. We could use your help. Robert Ian wraps up the show with his latest must-hear report. Our Q&A hotline, 641-715-3900, followed by extension number 514049. You can address any of your questions directly to my guest if you'd like. 641-715-3900, followed by extension number 514049. GoldSeek.com Radio begins now with a market weather recap. Partly cloudy skies hovered over the precious metals sector this week as the precious metals took a pause after a month-long impressive rally. as investors turned their eyes back to the more risky assets. At Friday's closing bell, the yellow metal was off just $7, though, near break-even, finishing at $12.82. Silver was down just 14 cents, about 1% at $15.40, while the XAU precious metal shares finished at $68.40, down 4.5%. Black gold, though, continued its winning streak, up another 5% on a stellar three-week rocket ship ride, finishing at $54. Palladium, though, was the big story. As I mentioned, blasting above gold briefly and just touching $1,400. Adding $56 for the week, finishing at $13.35. And as I mentioned, this is mainly used in emissions-reducing catalytic converters for gas-powered vehicles. It's up about 70% since the lows. And so I'm really posing to our listeners today, you know, why aren't they turning to platinum? Easily substituted for palladium, and it's trading at a $500 discount. So you might say, well, there's probably not the shortage that we see in palladium in platinum, but it still doesn't resolve the conundrum. Why aren't auto manufacturers purchasing platinum at this amazing discount relative to palladium? So for my astute investors and hedge fund and money managers out there, institutional investors, I would direct you, if you're long palladium, to take a look at platinum and think about the differential there and the potential for an arbitrage. Turning to the top story driving the sector this week, the risk-off trade gained more traction as investors directed their funds into higher-risk assets, such as U.S. shares, on rumors of a potential resolution in the U.S.-China trade dispute, despite denials from the U.S. Treasury to the contrary on all rumors. Washington and Beijing, though, do seem to want to make a deal. They all see the consequences of this dispute in both economies. In related news, the U.S. partial government shutdown entered its 28th day about a month, increasing concerns over political uncertainty and the potential impact of nearly 1 million furloughed government workers without paychecks. Now, 1 million U.S. homes without that income stream obviously translates into lower domestic consumer purchases. This, of course, the key driving force, about 70% of our gross national product. Plus, our next-door neighbors in Britain are engaged in their own battle to separate from the EU, where Theresa May continues the Brexit drama. Elsewhere on Wednesday, the Federal Reserve released the Beige Book. This is a glimpse at the domestic economy, which showed that activity is softer than expected, due likely to the partial government shutdown, as well as the trade dispute. Investors viewed this as a sign that the rate hike cycle might reverse soon, with the Fed policymakers obviously more dovish. We might see lower rates. Bottom line, on the precious metals. Clearly, dollar strength and renewed interest in U.S. shares turned investors away from our favorite sector for the time being. From a technical position, silver and gold really need to hold these current support levels to confirm a new bull market. With the current trade war, partial government shutdown, potential for new Fed QE operations and rate cuts, plus, unfortunately, the city streets ablaze in much of the EU, who would even think of missing an opportunity to shield their portfolios with discounted gold insurance? Moving on to the Wall Street Report, mostly sunny skies remained for the fourth week in a row over the New York Stock Exchange as investors continue to expect the Federal Reserve to hold rates steady now throughout 2019, according to the current Fed Fund futures contracts on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. By Friday's closing bell on Wall Street, the Dow added 710 points, 2.4%, at 24,000. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 picked up 75 points, 3%, at 2532, and the NASDAQ gained 185 points, 2.7%, at 7157. Meanwhile, Jim Cramer sees incredible value. That's right, CNBC's Cramer sees value where? In U.S. shares. 4 weeks after the bottom, though, quite an epic rally, Jim Cramer. On Thursday, he made positive stock market comments noting that officials are considering lifting tariffs on China to put a trade deal in place, concerned still by the government shutdown, as we all are, and the potential for multiplier effects reverberating throughout the economy, as over 800,000 federal workers are missing their paychecks. And to quote Cramer, he says, "You've got an uninsured hurricane going on, and we don't know when it will end and how much damage it will do. The insanity of the shutdown cannot be grasped." So the implications of hundreds of thousands of people falling off the grid could impact many areas of the economy. That's the takeaway point. U.S. shares, bottom line. Well, the USA Today Greed to Fear Index suggests fear is now gone, and the herd is getting a bit greedy. Plus, the short-term U.S. Treasury market remains stubbornly strong, suggesting that the smart money, the institutional investors, remain a bit cautious. They're holding on to treasuries, not convinced that shares are cheap. And, of course, we see still elevated price volatility. So, for the time being, I'm neutral, cautiously optimistic, but would like to see shares calm down a bit and resume a nice, stable uptrend. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
President and founder of Portfolio Strategies and registered investment advisory firm. It's just a pleasure to have him back today to talk on many of our listeners' topic du jour, and that's the cryptocurrency market. Is it a boom? Is it a bust? You'll probably figure out quickly what my guest thinks. Welcome back, Michael Pinto.
Thank you for having me back on the program, Chris.
This is a touchy subject because it's filled with FOMO, fear of missing out. There's so many different monikers they're using today. I mean, that should have been a red flag. And you hear all these new terms, HODL.
I'll give you a hint on where I come down on the debate. They were pimping and pumping the coin market for many, many months. And then after it topped out, you know, they had the BK, the Brian Kelly, who would come on and tell you to buy, buy, buy. It's going to 40,000. You had Tom Lee, you know, 100,000, all these predictions of grandeur. But none of them panned out, and they never will. And we'll discuss why. I don't think any of the cryptocurrencies will ever reach that level.
This is interesting because, you know, we've had billionaire Silicon Valley magnate Tim Draper on the show calling for 250,000 by 2022 or 2023 now. He's bumped it up another year. Well, let me bullet point some of the things that you'll hear. Okay, if you're on YouTube, if you're on one of the, you know, chat sites, this is what you're going to hear. We've had plenty of 92, 94% pullbacks before. This is common in Bitcoin. But it looks like things are a little different. We had an exponential blow off. Tell us why this time this might not echo some of those earlier rebounds that we saw in Bitcoin.
Well, first of all, let me start by saying I am not at all an expert in computers. Now, some will say that I'm an expert in the theory of money and credit and of markets and of economics. So if you come at it from that angle, I think you'll understand that Bitcoin, although the idea of it, and no, when I say Bitcoin, it's, you know, the generic moniker for all cryptocurrencies. So if I say Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies, it's ubiquitous for all of digital currencies. So I like the idea of an immutable, decentralized, anonymous ledger that you can make transactions on. There's two problems with this. Number one, governments will not allow it to exist, and governments can shut down cryptocurrencies at a whim, by the way. It's very easy to do. They can close down the exchanges and make any transaction, because, you know, when you want to do a transaction, you have to do it on the internet, okay, using your wallet. And you have to advertise on a site. You take any big box retailer, and they have to have a moniker on their site that says, hey, here's where we accept Bitcoin. And if you can see it as a consumer, the government can see it, and they will shut you down. They could fine you or put you in jail for conducting commerce using cryptocurrencies. So governments can easily take away the liquidity by shutting down exchanges or making exchanges using, making transactions using cryptocurrencies illegal. That's number one. That's one part of it. The other big part of it is that cryptocurrencies are not and never will be money. And when you understand those two things, you understand why the one-time erstwhile rally in Bitcoin, that super hyped up spike to almost $20,000 per unit, is something that will never, ever happen again, in my humble opinion.
I think you make a great point. We may never go back to 20,000. I mean, it does have all the marks of a bubble. To me, it reminds me a little bit of the Nikkei, the chart at least. So why don't we, instead of, you know, splitting hairs, they've heard me go on and on about, oh, the crypto this and transparency, and we're going to disrupt the world. Let's skip that mantra. Tell us why, in your opinion, you know, one of your former colleagues, Peter Schiff, is totally on board with you here, that we may see, after this bounce, we may see some serious selling, even though we're 80-90% off the peak.
Okay, so cryptocurrencies, they're supposed to act as money. Being an expert, so-called expert in the theory of money and credit, cryptocurrencies are supposed to act as money. Well, what is money? Money is a store of value, and a currency is just a medium of exchange. But it's not cryptocurrencies aren't a great currency, and they're a horrible form of money. If you look at, I know that the transaction speed has increased, and also the price of doing a transaction has decreased. But that's a function of the fact that demand for cryptocurrencies has been eviscerated. So when the volume returns, they charge more per transaction, and the transaction time takes a long time.
See, now we have Lightning Network on Bitcoin, so that's a way to sidestep.
So maybe you're correct. Okay, but that's not my main point. Here is my main point. Cryptocurrencies are supposed to act as money, which I said is a store of value. Now, the problem, the whole thing falls apart in the fact that they are not money. So what is money? Money is something that's very rare and extremely indestructible, very hard to destroy. And what functions as money, which has been money for thousands of years, is gold. Okay, not silver, gold. Silver tarnishes, it rusts, it oxidizes. Gold is virtually indestructible. It's an element. And it's very rare. It costs about $1,000 to $1,100 just to pull an ounce of gold from the ground. That's the manpower, the energy. That's how much it takes to pull it from the ground. And unlike cryptocurrencies, and you said yourself, you created your blockchain. You should tell your audience too that the blockchain is not the same as a cryptocurrency. They're two different things. You move a currency along the blockchain, but you do not need to move Bitcoin along a blockchain for the blockchain to have value. A blockchain is just an immutable, decentralized, and anonymous ledger. It can be. That's its purest form, which is what I like about. I do like blockchain. I just don't like using cryptocurrencies as money. But you can create your own cryptocurrency in like 3 hours. So there's now thousands of cryptocurrencies out there. They all are supposed to function as a commodity. In other words, they are all immutable, decentralized, and anonymous ways to conduct currencies, transact currencies, conduct commerce. And in that, they become commodities. So one is really not that different from the other. So if you have thousands of cryptocurrencies even though Bitcoin might be limited in its number, they say it's limited, and then they go and split it. And there's the Bitcoin Gold, and there's Bitcoin Cash. So who decides, by the way? You know, it's the people who maintain the ledger.
The developers, yeah, they do meet typically in New York. They will have a meeting on if they're going to allow a forking, which, as you say, is sort of like a split, a stock split.
A split connotes dilution.
Yeah.
Use the word fork, but let me ask you this. How decentralized are Bitcoins? How valuable are they if some clandestine group of people meet in private and decide when to fork it or split it?
Yeah, but you know, that does sound a lot like the central banking cartel.
It starts to sound like that, right? As I said, I would love for this technology, the blockchain, to be able to move money that's outside of the economic system, outside of the mainstream financial system. That's a wonderful idea. And perhaps if you can move gold, a digital form of gold, along the blockchain that is decentralized, and the governments, you know, if the governments can't touch that, that would be that's the gold mine there. That literally, forgive the pun, but that would be beautiful. So I'm not against the technology, but if the government, and people say, well, the government's going to come and regulate it. It's going to be, well, if the government's regulated, then what's the value in it? It's no longer immutable. It certainly isn't decentralized, and it's no longer anonymous if the governments are regulating it. So what purpose is it really serving? So here's my last point I want to make. I had this debate. I had I spoke at a libertarian conference, and you know, when you speak at libertarian conferences, these people will come up to me and say, "Well, how could you be against, you know, Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies?" I'm like, "Well, let me explain something to you." They tell me, "You have a series of public and private keys, and there's 64 characters in your private key, and it's unique. It's yours. It's unique. It can't be replicated. You'll never know who, you know, you'll never have another one." I'm like, okay, so there's 64, a series of 64 letters and numbers in a private key. They exist in electronic form, but numbers in of themselves are not rare, and they have no value. I mean, if you look at my cable bill or my gas bill, I have a series of numbers that's unique to me. There's no value in that. There's very little value in that at all. So all of the arguments for cryptocurrencies being worth thousands of dollars per unit are debunked. They've been proven false. The market agrees with me. Now, let me say this, Chris. I was wrong. I thought cryptocurrencies were useless all the way up to $19,000-$20,000 per unit. So I was wrong from around $4,000 or $3,000 when I first learned about them, all the way up. But now I think I'm proven correct. The market is pretty much dead for these currencies. The only value for these currencies are going to be if you want to transact, and they'll maybe worth maybe a couple hundred dollars for very, very popular cryptocurrencies. You know, when you think about it, the mainstream individual, the regular individual, is not going to conduct commerce, buy bitcoins or whatever cryptocurrency outside of an exchange, and then conduct commerce on the dark web. Not going to be a lot of transactions.
Here's a case in point. We just saw a $27 million transaction from here to like Venezuela, I think it was. It cost 10 cents for $27 million. 15 minutes later, they had their funds. Okay. It would have taken a week and $20,000 to send that through the banking system. Well, I have one family member who spent 3 years in a, let's just say, Northern European concentration camp around 1943 to 45. If they had had access to Bitcoin, they could have transferred the entire family wealth to maybe, I don't know, America or Canada. There really are some non-nefarious aspects here that I think even the gold aficionado should be able to appreciate.
So you're saying during, you know, Nazi Germany, you
yes.
want to get your money out, but
yes.
there's an argument there for digital gold. Why does it have to be, why do people think cryptocurrencies are gold 2.0, that they're better than gold in every regard? It's just not the case. You could have made it illegal to do that. If you put yourself on the web and you're accepting, you know, you go out and try to make a transaction, you could end up in a concentration camp anyway. I mean, you're saying it would be easy to move gold, to move money along a cryptocurrency if you were in Nazi Germany? It wouldn't have been an easy thing to do. There's a need to move your money out of China right now. But the government, like I said, the governments can very easily shut that down and remove all the liquidity and make it illegal. Who's going to risk doing it? You're risking your life.
And actually, there is a perfect example right now, and it's, believe it or not, Venezuela. A flood of people trying to move over to neighboring countries. You know, as you know, runaway inflation, widespread famine and starvation, and one of the few ways that they've had to transfer wealth, because they're stopping them at the borders, and one of the few ways they've been able to transfer funds is, believe it or not, through the crypto. You know, and it's not just one or two. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of people. But I do think there are some cases in point that there's a place for the blockchain, for the transparency, for the crypto.
Remember, I never said there wasn't a place for it. I never said there wasn't a place to use the blockchain. I'm saying a more efficient way to move gold would be to digitize it and move gold along the blockchain. That solves all of the issues. Then we can be in 100% accord on everything we're mentioning here. You want to avoid hyperinflation. You have your gold. You digitize your gold. You move it outside of the country. Same way you're moving your cryptocurrency out. Instead of moving a worthless group of numbers that are just elect and they're not rare.
You clearly have a background in statistics, because if you're building multivariate models, you understand the value of an essentially uncrackable, unless you have a quantum computer. Very few people know how to run a quantum computer, qubits and whatnot. But I mean, unless you have access to multi-billion dollar technology, here's a perfect example. I'll give you a piece of information none of your top colleagues, even your billionaires, has. I know Satoshi Nakamoto personally. Actually, it's a pseudonym. That's interesting you'd say that, because I cracked Satoshi Nakamoto. He hid his name. He encoded his name into the word. That's how I found him. Then I sent him an email, and we've been correspondents ever since. He might do the show, but the point is that this person actually exists. But anyway, what I'm getting at is the value of having a math that is unique, or set of, as you say, private keys.
Your private key consists of 64 numbers and letters. The order is changed, so they're unique. So tell me, and the number's finite, that's why there's, I think, how many was it, 64 million? I don't remember exactly the number of units of Bitcoin that could...
There's 19 million currently outstanding, 21 million total. Go ahead.
20 million, okay. And that's not counting the forks and the splits. So tell me what's so different about my private key that matches with a public key that enables me to do the trend. What is so different and unique about that?
Because it's transferable on the blockchain. It's transferable via a blockchain. Every new hash, it covers all the transactions.
It allows me to do a transaction on the blockchain.
Well, no, it allows you to transfer ownership along the blockchain. That's a key differentiation. Let me give you one little takeaway here. Think about Bitcoin, a new technology. We had VCRs. VCRs and DVRs, they totally dominated the world for so long. No one thought they would. It was, hey, we go to the movie theater. I grew up that way. You did. But you know what? Very few people spend much time there anymore. They're watching it through satellite. They're watching it through YouTube. They're watching it through their iPads and their iPhones, right? The way to view, in my opinion, digital money is as that new technology, the DVR, okay, following the VCR. It's just a new way, an alternative way, and there's going to be a break-in period. I think we've entered that now.
And here's where I think we get to, because I'm a big picture guy. You're obviously and probably much more knowledgeable about computers than I'll ever be. Just tell me, what is the purpose of moving money along the blockchain?
Here it is, and I'm so glad you brought that up. Peer-to-peer transfer of value. When you transfer wealth, there's never really been a time other than handing a gold coin where you could bypass all of those third parties. You're going to argue, and you make a good argument, that there really are some third parties, the developers. Yeah, the mining causes the hash rate. But the point is, you bypass, let's just say, 90% of the red tape.
It's immutable, decentralized, and it's anonymous in its pure form. But if governments don't allow that to happen, governments do not like you having control over their money. They view it as their money. There's anti-money money laundering regulations. There's know your customer regulations. I mean, I run a brokerage firm. I understand that. You can't move money around anywhere in the globe. There's not a government on the planet that wants you to be able to move money without them taxing it and seeing it and viewing it and controlling it. They don't like competing currencies. And they are going to try, and they have tried. They've been successful. They have tried to crush private coins. And look what they've done. It was $20,000 a unit. Now it's, $3,000 a unit for Bitcoin? If they're not going to allow it to happen, then you're going to have to ask the question, do you think that the public will, with alacrity, use the dark web to conduct mass transactions? If your answer to that is no, and I mean, I can't see your answer being yes to that. Your Bitcoins can be stolen. They've been stolen. You know, the Mt. Gox, you know, Bitcoins are stolen all the time. You go out and you buy something on the dark web. You don't receive your goods or your services. Who do you call? So there's not going to be this readily facilitous mass adoption of cryptocurrencies if governments won't allow it. And if governments are involved, then the entire reason for cryptocurrency's existence goes out the window. Would you now send me 1,000 bitcoins or even 100 bitcoins using the dark web for a service that I promised to give you? Would you do that without any way of guaranteeing that the service or the good would arrive to you?
Well, first of all, if I had 100 bitcoins, first thing I'd do is buy my wife and kids a house. Let's back up just 1 minute. There's never been a huge sum that I'm aware of lost, meaning where they couldn't find the transaction.
But the owner of the Bitcoin, owners of cryptocurrencies have been robbed.
The robbing that you're referring to is actually because they gave third-party ownership. They handed over their keys. You see, when you send money to an exchange, just like you do when you give money to the bank, I might add, okay, because that's not your money. That money is owned by the bank, and they lend it back to you even when you're using a checking account. Back to the case in point, Mt. Gox is such a silly, and I don't mean to be rude, but it's a silly example because not only was it created by a guy who was sitting around, hey, I like magic money, let's make an exchange, but the keys were not owned. So you handed over your Bitcoin, and of course you lost it. Anybody who hands over something to someone else, you know, you're counting on their veracity.
All the regulated exchanges are going to ask you to do the same.
Probably, but now we're starting to see some fiduciary responsibility perk up, and there's other parties that are starting to back. Now that we've got a futures exchange, et cetera, et cetera. But back to your point, yes, I would trust it. Perfect example. I had some hackers attack my bank account last year. It was such a disaster. I had to pay rent on the house, keep the office running, keep food on the table for the kids, shut down my account just because some hackers hit it. And so they said, we're going to put a 30-day lock on your account. I mean, what do you mean you're going to put a 30-day lock? I don't have that much cash laying around here.
But there's somebody you could call at the bank. There's FDIC insurance, but I mean, that's, even though it's backed by nothing, I hate fiat currencies as well, but at least there's a helpline. You know, you said your cryptocurrency is stolen or the goods and services don't arrive. Well, you have no recourse.
Think back to my VCR analogy. You know, I can't wait to take my 5-year-old and my 5-month-old to their first movie. That's the first thing I remember doing with my dad, was seeing Star Wars after Rocky. The catch is, that does not reduce the validity of the VCR or the DVR, which was to come. But you can't discount the validity that the VCR is coming. Go back to 1990. Would you have really believed that something like email, electronic mail, was really going to take the world by storm? We don't even think about living without it today on our iPhones, our Androids, and on our laptops.
I mean, if you're making an argument for technology, the advancement of societies and the progression of intellectual property, I mean, I'm all on board for technology. Some technologies are good. Some technologies are useful. Some technologies lead to productivity, and some technologies don't. You know, just because you have a technology doesn't guarantee its viability.
I would just ask you and the audience to take this away with them. You know, we think of email today. It didn't replace mail. And I'm not saying, none of us are saying that Bitcoin's going to replace your Bank of America checking account or savings account. We're not saying that, or that it's even superior. It may have a couple of little hallmarks that, you know, that are better than traditional. But for the most part, it may even be inferior in most ways. But it has some aspects that I would argue make it the email of tomorrow, the text messaging of tomorrow.
The email is a better way of communicating than snail mail, traditional mail. But email is not something the governments want to shut down. Email is something that's monitored by governments. It exists in the context of something that's not decentralized, not anonymous, and it is not immutable. If the government ever said, you know what, I don't care about cryptocurrencies, I don't want to regulate them, and they can exist on their own freely, then you will be proven correct. Until governments stop caring about collecting taxes and controlling their currencies, which I think will be never, then you're relegated to the dark web. And that's why I believe the mass adoption of these currencies, unfortunately, because I love the technology, It's a great idea. It's a wonderful idea. In fact, I actually invested in a company that digitized gold and moved it along a blockchain. And the company almost went out of business because governments shut them down. They regulated the company to death.
Tokyo, almost every retail establishment that you walk into accepts Bitcoin. In fact, it's actually considered the second currency next to the yen. They have embraced it because they saw the mistake and the damage that this idea has made to mainland China, many other nations around the world. And you're right. The adoption rate here is going to be slow. The SEC and several of the other agencies have made it publicly clear, just like we did with email, just like we did with the internet, we're going to have a sort of hands-off, laissez-faire approach.
Is the nation of Japan taxing Bitcoin?
You bet they are. And you know Coinbase is as well. That's our number one exchange here.
So let's just, the Bank of Japan allows cryptocurrencies to supplant the yen. Okay? They tax in the yen, they use it, they basically becomes a government currency. And then the Japanese nation slips into a deflationary cycle like they've done every few years since 1989. What do you think the Bank of Japan is gonna do? The Bank of Japan, who now controls the cryptocurrency, because you said they can regulate it, they can tax it, they're going to fork, euphemism for split, Bitcoin. And it's going to become another fiat currency controlled by government, just as another way of transacting over the internet.
Want to see some precedent. That works well with fiat money. I would argue it's a little more challenging with cryptos.
Not only, if you look at what happened with Bitcoin, Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Cash, there's been forks and you can, there's, how many times can you split? First, I want to thank you for making this an informative debate. We shared ideas. We didn't have ad hominem attacks. I learned something. I hope you guys learned something. And your audience can make a decision. Both of us agree that fiat currencies are disgusting. They should be eschewed on moral grounds, rejected on moral grounds. And we need a better currency and we need better money. My way is to try to find a way of digitizing gold, and there is flaws with the way commerce is conducted right now.
Look into our new sponsor, One Gold, through AppMex. That's the one thing. And the last 10-second question, what does the Pentonomics model, what is the forecast, your multivariate model on Bitcoin?
Well, I think in the next few years, sub 1,000, probably closer to where the price of gold is right now per ounce. So one unit of Bitcoin is probably around $1,300. I hope for their sake I'm wrong.
Thank you, Michael Penta.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at AppMex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
We'll be right back.